Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men Originals podcast. I'm Steve Hall. Delighted to be joined by Chris Page, Chloe Bloxham, and Dan Club, not wearing shorts. We've taken the feedback on board, Dan. He is fully... For those who watch the show, some of you might be gutted about this, some of you might be relieved. You will not get to see Dan's inner thigh anymore.
I'm gutted about it. I am gutted. I bought podcast pants in, just in case. They just live upstairs, these now.
Podcast pants.
If ever emergency podcast arises, here I am.
There see, that go. Message now makes sense to me. I saw it this morning and it was like... Okay, sounds like a funny message, and now it all makes sense.
Yeah. I apologise to those who are disappointed, by the way. It wasn't my decision. But yeah,
he's reluctantly wearing trousers.
I'm one of the ones who's disappointed. I think Dan's got great
no,
legs.
No, I am disappointed. I was enjoying the comment section, to be honest. I was looking for it.
It was a bit much for me.
I agree.
The social clips. I don't mind. I don't mind like seeing your knees below, but it was the upper inner thigh. Mm. And I kept thinking, oh, his knob's going to fall off here at any point. I don't know. It never. but I was worried about. I was worried for you.
No, I wasn't worried.
Did you keep watching though? I bet the retention was quite good.
Just in case, watch till the end.
Yeah.
You won't believe what pops out of Dan's shorts.
Looking at it, I bet I will.
Yeah. Harrison here just has no more thigh in the chat with some crying emojis.
Sorry.
Harrison's got
sorry,
the point. I thought the worst part of it all it was your little. Two seconds ago, that might be the biggest dick in my life.
If I'm not bringing, well, you just watched Cal the Dragon do a TikTok video upstairs, I'm really disappointed. If I haven't got shorts, I'm at least bringing that to the party.
No,
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Right then, we're going to be talking about the big week that's ahead for Liverpool. Obviously, City, Chelsea, and Arsenal on the horizon a bit later on. We've got a little bit in the second about the transfer stuff and some non-Jude Bellingham. Yeah, it's Hosko Gvardiol, Liverpool centre back issues. Have a little bit of a chat about that and loads of other bits and bobs in the way before we get there very quickly. Chris, got a kickoff question from Adam, one of our Discord users. He says, out of the team who featured in the Legends game at the weekend, other than Stevie G, who would you like to have back in their prime in this current Liverpool squad?
Sammy Appiah.
Alongside Virgil.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sammy was good, you know. I got to speak to him, thankfully, and you know, he's lost weight. I mean, most footy players get fit, like fatter. Mm. Shout out Charlie Adam. Sammy Appiah was really thin, and I asked him what's going on. He went, he's doing lots of like endurance type sports, so yeah, he's lost the weight, and he drives motor cars, so he has to be lighter now. So, Sammy in his prime, get him next to Verge will be with all kinds.
I know
of
they were both left sided, weren't they? But like, if you get Sammy in your prime, 3.2 million, Willem two, that's Sammy Appiah. Then he's slotting in there for the future as well.
It's a good answer, Chloe. Anyone else? We got to see the game live. At one point, Chloe said it was the fat baldy fella, and unfortunately, me. But she didn't. She meant Charlie.
Myself.
He only finished playing like a year ago, didn't he?
He's had a good summer, Charlie.
Made the most of it, hasn't he?
Good luck to him. Like, fair play to him as well. I love it. And he was giving the Rangers fans a bit of stick on that as well.
I did not recognise that man. That man on that pitch didn't look like Charlie Asm to me.
If you got him to take a penalty and he hit it over the bar, you'd recognise him.
Yeah, that's only. But sadly, he didn't get that opportunity. I thought the two best players on the pitch was Mark Gonzalez and Ragnar Klavan. I really enjoyed watching Ragnar. He was playing fullback, and obviously, you know, he's not on the level of Sammy Hibby that you just said.
Fullback. I thought they were playing three at the back.
He did, but he ends up playing like left wing back.
Yeah,
that's basically, outrageous.
Well, basically,
by the way.
Wow. Well, the lads who could run, just went fullback.
Yeah, so someone went off injured.
Cavani again, yeah.
And basically, Aurelio went left. Oh, Aurelio. I'd like Aurelio. That's the answer. I love Fab at left.
It's a bit of depth at left back there, isn't it? Like,
yeah. No.
She just fancies Fab Aurelio.
Oh, I love Fabio Aurelio.
He was quality. Yeah,
left peg on him. It's Tapia, but it's not. If it's not, it's Skirtle for me. I like Martin Skirtle.
He won the pen.
He was literally in this team and Jürgen could not wait to get rid of
him. I know, but in his prime, with our centre-back issues, topical, we're going to come on to him a bit later. I think he'd do a job for us now, to be honest with you. Just no nonsense, next to Verge. I'm fine with it.
You know what?
We've already had Hippier and it's obviously Gerrard outside of that. I mean, it's not Clavan at left-back. He'd love to love his turn.
It is, Sam. You know, I wouldn't hate to see Robbie Keane. Just what Robbie Keane, what could have been?
With all our attacking options.
I know, I always think it could have worked. But no, Sammy Appiah is the right answer. Slot Sammy next to Virgil.
Yeah, but I couldn't say Sammy after you, but I'd still go with Fabio Aurelio.
Fair enough, that's absolutely fine. Let us know anyway if you're watching or listening along.
It ain't Robbie Keane, by the way.
No, of course it ain't. I just would have liked to have seen Robbie Keane be good. I wish it worked out better, and I think he could have had a chance under Jürgen to be better, because Rafa Benitez didn't like him.
Mark Gonzalez is in his prime, by the way. He's better than ever.
Shout out to Matt Ladson from the Soundfield, by the way. If anyone watched the press conference, the first question Mark Gonzalez asked, I was sitting right next to Mark. He went to Mark Gonzalez. Mark, you're scoring more goals in these games than you are in your Liverpool career.
You must
be enjoying it. And I was like, wow, fair play to Matt Ladson for saying that to the fella straight away. I love that. It was ruthless.
But he did play well, fair play to him.
It was absolutely ruthless. But yeah, some people think Dan Agger, well, he wasn't in the team, so he doesn't count.
Believe me, if Daniel Agger was in that team, I'd have said Daniel Agger.
Why is that?
He's incredible. Loved that man. His passion is... Okay. Everyone says he's not
Chris
good. There you go.
It's not that I fucking hate him. I just don't think he was very good. I just think he was massively overrated.
I don't think he was overrated.
What about the
Lewis
Garcia action?
I love Lewis.
You know what happened in that? He kept giving the ball away, and I was like, I've seen this film before.
Yeah.
Every time
he has not changed then.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
He came off the pitch after about 10 minutes or something.
Well, someone snapped. It was Stylian Petrov, and he broke his leg, that's why. Yeah, right. Then we'll move on away from the Legends game. Go and check out all the stuff the foundation are doing. If you want to donate as well, they're raising some really good money, so yeah, go and check out the foundation. Me and Chloe got to have a nice day down there.
I did.
If nothing else as well, including going viral on the internet with Chloe's video of Stevie G giving it to the Celtic fans. It's all available for you. Right, then we put it off long enough. Chris, I called it the Monster Week, starting this weekend upcoming. We don't have to go into the City games, etc., because we'll do that on Thursday Night Pint, but in general, it is the week of all weeks. It's the season-defining week. We're going to know this time next week if Liverpool season's over or what we're in for or what we're doing. It's huge, really. City away, Chelsea away, Arsenal at home. That's as tough a run as you can get. It's huge, really.
It is. It's going to define the entire season, isn't it? Obviously, you know, so far I think we've defined by not being in any more cups or anything like that, and this sort of league form that's been up and down all season long, and, you know, how many times we've turned the corner and stuff, but this feels like if we don't get 6 points from these 9 points available, I'm not sure Liverpool can get Champions League footy.
I agree. I think you need at least 6 points, and even then, I don't know whether 6 points is enough. It obviously depends what happens. Spurs in there now no longer have Conte. Let's see what, you know, that does to the morale of the team. But for Liverpool, it feels like it's a make or break week, which, to be fair, it's felt like this every single week.
I suppose, Dan, two very tough away games, and one of them was an early kickoff. The good news is we're excellent away and we're excellent in early kickoffs.
Yeah, they're the saving graces, aren't they? Out of all of those, yeah. And we're really boss after breaks normally as well. So everything's like pointing in the right direction this Saturday. I can't wait. It is season defining, of course. It is. Like I say, we've kind of sat here before now and said, oh, they look huge set of fixtures and so on and so on. But unfortunately, because we've been so crap at times this season, some of the results have been so poor. I sat here last week and said, if we don't get top four, we've only got ourselves to blame, because those above us aren't exactly outstanding. But now we've left ourselves no room for manoeuvre. Like, if we were going into this in fourth, like Tottenham are, for instance, we could go, oh, do you know what? If we could just win one and draw one, that's fine. We can move on from that. But we haven't got that wiggle room anymore. We need to get at least 6 points. I actually said 7 upstairs. I think we probably need to get out undefeated from these three, which, unfortunately, given the way we've played, look pretty much impossible to do. And I hate to say it, but it just does. If you told me we're going to be undefeated from these three and win two of them, I'd think you're a little bit mad, to be honest.
Enough for that. Chris, I suppose that the flip side is, which you're all joking aside, Liverpool's best performance of this season have came against tougher teams. I think they did really well against City at home. They were right in that Arsenal game up until the injury. I think Luis Diaz got injured. And then it all kind of fell apart. Liverpool went behind really early, but got a foothold in that.
Should have had a penalty as well.
The Chelsea game was a stalemate, really, 0-0. And that was like, that was Jürgen kind of stopping
the rot. They've been stalemate for a long time.
Every game against them.
Games, like, you know what I mean? You just have to think back to the two finals on wins on penalties. And
3-0
stuff.
So in a run.
Incredibly difficult games between two sides that know each other probably better than any two sides in the league. Maybe arguably Liverpool and City know each other really well, but we've had so many games against Chelsea in high pressure situations, haven't we? That's got 0-0 wrote all over it for me again, especially with two sides who probably are both not in a position to be able to risk it. And I think that's the interesting thing with the City game is, do Liverpool go for 3 points, or do they sit and try and get like just a snide one and win 1-0? And I think it's always really difficult when you're in a situation where you know you've got these three games, you know they're massive, you know you need loads of points from these three games. Do you risk it? Like, can you afford to? Or do you? And Klopp has always, I think, been quite conservative in the big games. You just have to think back to one of the seasons we lost by a point to Manchester City or whatever. Those games against Everton and Manchester City where he just didn't roll the dice, because naturally he's just quite a conservative fella, I think, in terms of football tactics anyway. And that's the, like, against City, I think he's going to be conservative and not try and, like, blow them away. And that's when we've had success against City, is when we've gone at them. And I think naturally he'll probably not, which is mad.
I suppose probably the flip side is, in those days, we were the ones near the top trying to stay up there. When Liverpool have got a gap to bridge, like Dan and Chris have mentioned before, he might have to just go for it. Like, to be fair, I thought the City home game, Liverpool were solid defensively, but we always had the attack and threat. And I'm not sure this side are good enough to defend to at the moment to just sit back. He's got decisions to make, hasn't he, in all three games?
It kind of feels like, you know, maybe his first year under Liverpool, but also when we were going for the league, it feels very much like we're going to have to outscore you. It's going to be one of them where we'll just have to score more than you. And like Chris mentioned, I feel like when we actually go at people, that's when we can get at them. You should not... How many times have we screamed it in the past four seasons where teams have just been a little too scared against Manchester City and sat back, and ultimately they've just been pulled apart? Because 90 minutes, with how much they control a ball, you get shattered. There's gaps eventually. But like the signs, I think Brentford this season, you get at them, you can beat them, and Liverpool have enough quality on the pitch to actually put the ball in the back of the net. It is obviously the other way where we struggle at the moment. So yeah, it's one of them where I feel like we don't have the option to sit back and be conservative, because you need as many points as you can get. Chelsea probably isn't, you know, that is away, and it's an 8 p.m. kickoff midweek. The lads, we don't do well there. And also, Arsenal, it's at home. The top of the league. They're there for a reason. So I really don't feel like we have the option to sit back and try and pick the points where we want them.
In the City game as well, obviously, we know how poor we are in the early kickoffs and everything else. It's just lucky, Dan, I suppose, that they're not really fast starters.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Yeah, and
because we're really good in the early part of games.
Well, we're notoriously solid early on. Like, keep it tight, and we'll build from there. It's been our mantra pretty much all season. To be fair, you mentioned the Arsenal game. I went to that for us, and it was like conceding the first minute, and then like the first minute, the second half is off. For God's sake, just stop people scoring early on. Yeah, it's got all the hallmarks of all the negativity we've seen this season. This game hasn't, like I say, early kick off away from home, probably in that godforsaken kit that we all hate now. It's a nightmare.
No, they've got to wear red. They'll
it's
definitely
a nightmare.
Wear red.
It's a nightmare of a fixture.
That's the only saving grace, is that we're not going to be wearing that.
I know, yeah.
Kit.
I'm fed
at
up
least,
with that one.
At least we're all finding the funny, you know, moments out of it instead of actually
laugh,
being depressed.
Don't laugh.
Well, yeah, you can laugh up until it happens. You're going to cry for 2 days.
Yeah, on the topic of how we approach it, if I mean, we have to fight 5 for 5, just go for it. I'd like to go there and be conservative. I just don't think we're good enough defensively to keep them out. They're so good. They're going to keep passes to death. It's like death by 1,000 passes. You just can't keep them out forever. So fight 5 with 5. Let's see what happens. And we're probably going to have all our attackers available to us for the first time this season.
Yeah,
I think.
There's a chance.
So,
we'll speak about Diaz in a minute for sure. Now, City have got their own issues. Again, we'll do a full preview of this on Thursday Night Pints. We'll know more about Erling Haaland in particular by then. They're probably going to be without Phil Foden. We know that, Chris. But I was thinking before about like the Chelsea away is actually the easiest of the three games. And our record against Chelsea isn't, it's, I mean, it's just draws. It's draws are plenty recently. I think if you had to say like which is the most likely to win, it should be that one. But that just shows you in general how tough a task it is, that the easiest of three games is going to be away to Chelsea.
In a place that you're not very good normally as well, isn't it? And it is. It's going to be, because the other two sides are the top two sides in the country right now, aren't they? And, you know, you've got a fella in Ireland who scored about a bazillion goals already this season, and it only took him a bazillion touches to do it. And obviously Arsenal are just playing with a confidence and a youthful exuberance at the moment that they feel like that they can't be stopped as well. And, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think when we were going into the Arsenal game earlier on in the season, I was very much, there was a narrative there for me around how, you know, Liverpool have always kind of had Arsenal's number under Jurgen Klopp, and even prior to that under Brendan Rodgers and stuff, and it was the new versus the old guard and all that type of stuff. And I think that result against us is probably what's given them the confidence to go, do you know what? We are supposed to be here. Of course, we've just beaten them, finally. You know, we're normally tonked 4-5-0 and have been for the best part of a decade. That's the real switch in mentality for them, where they truly believe that now, you know, we're the team to beat now. Liverpool have passed it. We've crossed them on the stairs and we're going to fire on. So they'll be looking to continue that, you know, putting the foot to the throat, etc., and just pile on.
Yeah, absolutely. I said before, by the way, we'll know in a week or time. It's in 2 Mondays time when we'll have played all these games, but that was kind of the point, Chris, that I suppose I'll stick with you on this one. And again, there's plenty of time to talk about these games in particular, but like, what happens at the Etihad can be instructive to what happens at Chelsea. Like, if you go and win at the Etihad, which, listen, is hard to do on the best times, never mind with this Liverpool side, all of a sudden a draw at Chelsea isn't the end of the world. But because the turnaround is so quick between those two games, you know, it's Saturday morning, Tuesday, Jürgen's almost, I wonder how he's planning, like, his team all week. Is he thinking of just beating City and then just picking up the piece and seeing what's there at Chelsea? Or has he got two teams in mind, there's rest and rotation, who can I leave out there to play there? This is all because this Chelsea game got moved to a very awkward time due to the cancellation, obviously, when the Queen died. It does feel like it's been that, especially with it being a Tuesday, really does like throw a few spanners in works.
Yeah, it will do. I think Jürgen's going to manage it as he always does, to be honest with you. I think he's going to look at the block of fixtures between now and the end of the season, and ultimately, look, you get your team wrong in the first three games in terms of the sports science side of things, that can fuck 5, 6, 7 games later down in the season. So it might go against what us as football fans want, which is best team, best team, best team. But if it puts you in a position to win the most points over the longer period of time, which is between now and the end of the season, then Jürgen's got to take that way. And he's got to plan accordingly as well, isn't it? Lucky in some ways that, you know, at least we're the early on the Saturday and the late on the Tuesday, which gives us, in those 2 days worth of games, the longest break that we can possibly have. But it's going to be tough for him to manage it. But now, as you mentioned before, you know, with the 6 attackers, we might be able to freshen it up a little bit, you know, with a couple of midfielders coming back into the fray, and, you know, we might be able to freshen the midfield up a little bit. So, fingers crossed, we've got the tools to be able to do it.
Let's speak about Diaz then, Chloe. At time recording, we don't know exactly where he's at, but most reports are that he's been training over the last couple of weeks and they want to put him into full team training this week, and they'll see how he reacts. This happened last time, by the way. He got to training, that's when his body broke down, so we do have to caveat that, and I don't want to piss on any bonfires, but it's worth mentioning about. But if Liverpool can have some semblance of Luis Diaz back for those games, if he can feature as a even off the bench in a few of them, psychologically it's a huge boost for Liverpool to have another top player back. He's caused damage against these sides before, or he's done really well against all three of them in specific moments. I think in particular Chelsea, I thought he was good in the final, you know, when he played the game there. He was having a very good game against Arsenal until he got absolutely smashed as well. He's done damage against City. But the flip side of that is, we've seen with someone like a Jota now, he hasn't played for ages, Luis Diaz, and then just to throw him back in into three very high-intensity games, like Liverpool have to be, A, really careful with him, and B, you can't expect too much off him. It's almost like whatever you get, a little bit of a bonus, really, because it's been a long, old time.
Yeah, I don't expect to see the real Luis Diaz until next season, yeah. If I'm being honest. That's just how I feel. And if you've got any single doubts that him playing towards the end of the season will affect next season, I just wouldn't play him, because it sounds like putting him back in and us getting top four, but then next year without him, if he gets another injury, the fact that he came back, he was in training, we expect him to start coming back into it, and then he's out for pretty much the rest of the season. I don't want a reoccurring injury. I don't want it to flare up. We've got to be really, really careful, because he is not just for next year. He's not... Oh, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Klaus,
what are you careful? Yeah, there's you. Do, do,
do, do. Really don't want a reoccurring injury.
Yeah. No, yeah. He's
doubling down. He's really doubling down now.
As if I didn't like my voice enough. But yeah, Luis Diaz isn't just for now. He's not just for... He's 5-6 years for the future him as well. So we really can't affect that.
Liverpool... Sorry to interrupt. Do you think Liverpool won't have taken like precautions already?
I feel like...
They fucked it last time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean.
My problem.
Surely if they fucked it last time, they must go, we are not rushing him back. So I think they must be in a position where they go, well, he's got to be right. I've got to put my trust in them there, surely, yeah. No?
I get what you mean. I don't know what part he plays. He can be in the squad, sure, and that has big effects on teams having to think about another game plan in case we do bring them on and what happens there. Because if you've got 15 minutes to go and you're in a game and Liverpool have had a lot of possession and then they bring Luis Diaz on, okay, yeah, that changes the mentality of it. But at the same time, like we mentioned, they messed it up last time and Luis Diaz was out for ages.
That's what I mean. I'm not arguing about whether he's going to be good or not. I completely agree with you on that. My thought process was,
we won't do it again.
We can't do that again.
I didn't think we had a doctor the first time around, did we? I didn't think we had a doctor.
It's not been good since we've had a doctor either, to be honest.
We're making a lot of mistakes, aren't we? Because we had Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita,
who weren't on the Champions League list, but then they came back soon enough so they could have. Yeah, look, it's one of them where you'd think that they'd have the red screwed on and know that, but at the same time, it's Liverpool Football Club this season and I couldn't tell you what the hell is going on behind the scenes with any stage of our club.
We don't
have a sporting director.
Well, we do.
We do for now.
Well, we don't.
He's still working. He's on gardening. Hopefully, he's not just phoning in. I've left jobs in the past yet. It can be fun. Right, got a super chat, £5 from Elite Six. Thanks very much for the five. Super chat says, we may as well go all out attack, and if we get beat, we aren't expected to win anyway. Also, Darwin is the key to unlocking their defence. .. and my heart.
I was waiting for something like God. That. Nice.
He is the key, yeah, he is.
Is he,
back? We'll find out how he is, by the way. He didn't go on international duty, Danny. He had a cut to his ankle. Hopefully, that's just Liverpool thinking, you know what, we could do without you going to Japan and playing Japan and South Korea, have a little rest.
Yeah, I think it was. Honestly. When you see
he had the shoulder issue as well.
Yeah, that's what I originally thought it was, to be honest with you, seeing the cut stuff. But yeah, I think when you see international duty injuries that happen so early, like it literally announced him in the squad, and, oh, by the way, he's not coming. I think straight away you go, yeah, the club's had a word there. And Gakpo returned from Dutch duty as well with an illness.
He's gone back.
Chicken curry, wasn't it? Chicken curry problems, yeah. Yeah, I have no doubt about Darwin. And I'm actually slightly more optimistic about Diaz. I mentioned it to Chris upstairs. I think the very different players, him and Jota. Jota quite clearly is somebody who takes a long time to get back into form. I think we've seen that with him a few times now. We rushed him back for an injury as well, haven't we, previously? He came back for the final, actually, and he wasn't ready at all. And I think Jota clearly struggles and takes quite a long time to get back up and running. I don't know, I'm more optimistic about Diaz. I don't think he's going to hit the ground and be amazing straight away this week, by the way, but I think if given some minutes, he could quite quickly build up to something like his old self, and maybe even, it'd be quite nice if he came back in for that Arsenal game, given that he got the injury against them and had an impact on that. I'm confident that he will have an impact between now and the end of the season, and to your point, Chris, as well, I think Liverpool have already made a mess of this once in terms of getting him back. I don't think they'll do it again.
Do you reckon he plays some part on Saturday?
City...
If he's in the squad, there's no reason why not.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I think it depends on the
team. It's not a big part.
Yeah.
It's a maximum 30 minutes, maximum for me.
Yeah.
Like, he's not Liverpool 3-0 down and he's your half-time sub.
No, it can't be. No, I agree with that.
It's just not that. I'm probably leaning more with Chloe on when his impact will be this season. I think we've put a lot of our hopes and dreams and expectations in when Luis Diaz comes back, but... it's 6 to 8 to 10 weeks for me before he really does it. And I hope you're right, Dan. I really do, mate, because we need him. But where I see his impact most of all is, you know, the last few weeks, the left-hand side hasn't been great.
No.
You know, Nunes has sort of come off the boil a little bit when he's been playing on that left-hand side. I just hope that Diaz being back training, Diaz being back in the squad, light a fire under everyone else's arse, because they're thinking, I need to keep my fucking place in this side now. I need to keep my place for next season. I want to make sure that I'm the first name on the manager's team sheet. That's where I expect they'll have the biggest impact, or hope he has the biggest impact.
Well, on that, there's actually a bit of a fight, a bit of a three-way fight for that left-hand side role, isn't there, for next season, especially if you look at Nunes, probably wants to play out there. Diaz, that's pretty much his only natural position, you'd say. And Cody Gakpo has played out there previously. Jota. And Jota, you could bring into that conversation as well. Gakpo, you could probably take out and kind of put him central for the Firmino role. So you're right, I think there is a genuine fight that probably starts the minute Diaz is back fit. Because as soon as he's back fit, Nunes has got to go, oh, that lad's back now, I need to nail down my spot. And Jota the same. So yeah, I think
Jota
really...
will be like that, Dan, won't he? He'll be like, shit, when I get my 30 minutes in the game, I need to do something.
Yeah, you've got to make it count. Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic to add to the mix, because we can all see from the outside the amount of attackers we've got. I know we're going to lose Firmino later on this year, but the same. And we're all going, how do you fit them all on the side? They know that as well, you know what I mean? So they must be having the same conversations in their own head.
Fingers crossed it all works out. We touched it on it before, then, just like, you know, in terms of the league table, Tottenham fourth, 49 points. They play 28 games, though. Newcastle are fifth, 47 points after 26. We're sixth, 42 after 26. Brighton are 42 after 25. Even Brentford are on 40 after 27. I think we can probably rule them out, but... You mentioned before then about how we get into this top four. So bear in mind, Chris, we're 7 points behind Spurs. Again, having played too fewer games than them. Newcastle are 5 points above us on the same amount of games. You said you think we need 6 points on these two. Is that right?
Yeah, just because of in terms of the quality of the opposition. I think, you know, we've been through some of the sides. Tottenham, is it Tottenham that have got a really good run between now and the end of the season?
Everton, don't they? We know that.
Yeah. So I just think in terms of the quality of the side, you can't accept anything less than 6 points out of these nine. You need to still be within touching distance. And hopefully, maybe if you go lean more to what Dan said before about the 7 points, at least the fact that you get through that sort of without a loss on your record, that might be enough to give you that kick on to go, and actually, do you know what? We've just done really well there. 7 out of 9 against 3 of the toughest teams in the league. Maybe we can kick on from here.
Mate, I'd bite your hand off a 7.
That's the form that can kickstart something, though, isn't it? Because we've seen one game patches. That's not even a patch. We've seen one game incidents here and there this season, haven't we? We've gone, there it is. But if we can put together 3 games whereby you don't get beaten, you do pick up 7 points, maybe, that's genuine form. And you can carry that forward to the rest of the season. And on your point, I think it's Newcastle might have the kindest fixtures out of a lot of us.
They start with United.
But after that, I'm pretty sure their fixtures get quite nice for the run into. I think Tottenham have got a relatively tough run. To
I know they play Jove as well, which is, might be a saving grace.
And that's who we play Spurs at Anfield. Obviously, we can't do anything now about Newcastle. We beat them twice. We've done as much as we can against them. But we, you know, we've got games in hand on Spurs and we play them. That is massive.
Are you taking Brighton seriously in this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to.
I am, yeah.
I think they might be the best side.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I think they are better than Tottenham. They've proved that they're better than us at the moment. You know, Newcastle, before the last game, they were in a little bit of patchy form. Yeah.
The only thing I'd say about Brighton, sorry, is that they have a semi-final against Manchester United. That might take the focus.
And they've got the fixtures are going to start piling up for them.
Yeah.
With that, especially with the FA Cup as well. That's why they've got 3 games in hand as well. So I suppose you're right there, Chloe, is that they've got to fit that semi-final in, potentially a final. They can definitely beat Man United. And before you know it, there's more games, and you wonder how their squad can cope with the... You know, midweek, weekend, because that's what Liverpool have got to deal with now. We've got it coming up as well with our rearranged fixtures. Like, we've got Fulham and Chelsea, just these games that they just need to fit in. I suppose that's the thing what we'll see with Brighton, because they have been really impressive. And I don't think anyone's been really talking about them. It's been almost a 3-horse race. Brentford fans might be sitting here going, hang on a minute, we're on the same amount of points as you. But I think Brighton should be taken seriously, at least.
Yep.
Would you all agree?
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I like them. I think they're really good side. Yeah.
I just like the club top. But it feels like they've just got everything going correctly. The way they bring players in, the transfers. Yeah. I mean, they've managed to get that Casado to sign a long-term deal, which protects his price if he tries to force his way out again.
Evan Ferguson's boss as well.
Yeah, I just, I really do. I don't mind Brighton.
Kylian Mbappe is a big fan.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. It absolutely makes sense. But coming up on the Bias Football podcast later, by the way, we've got a little bit to speak about Kylian Mbappe. But yeah, in general, Chris, before we do move on, there is something to be said, though, and if you're going back against the wall and you're going all guns blazing, it's the bigger games haven't really been a problem for Liverpool this season. It's been what's come after. You know, like, so for example, we beat City, but then you can't beat Nottingham Forest a few days later after you scrape past West Ham and you just lose to Forest, or you beat again and you lose to Leeds. It feels like these are the fixtures where almost take care of themselves a little bit, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, Liverpool have always, they're batting United, they do well against City, they do not, et cetera, et cetera. It feels like when it comes to big game time, Jürgen and the lads still, you know, they can still play a few hits, you know what I mean?
They can stay, but we're talking about three games here and we've only beaten one of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like it's the teams that we've come up against and done well against, really, is it? You know, obviously, we've spoken about the draws against Chelsea and the loss against Arsenal. So, and it's the mentality side of things that's what it comes down to, that, isn't it? When you can do well against your Manchester United, but you lose against your Bournemouths. And that's what needs to change. And I don't know how you change it. And I think Jürgen's struggling to understand how you change that at the moment as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll do more build-up towards Man City on Thursday night, Pant, this week. Looking forward to it, by the way. Yeah, we'll be able to, as I mentioned before, Phil Foden, Erling Haaland, all that kind of stuff. We'll have probably a clearer idea about Liverpool's team going into that one as well. So yeah, do join us. 7 p.m. on Thursday for Thursday Night Pints. As it stands, we've got Jags from the Ragamuffins and Mark Morahan.
Subject to change.
As it stands.
Mate, things change.
No, I know.
We booked a guest. We know this. But yeah, we've got Thomas the Tank Engine and the guy who sang the Luis Diaz song and Roberto Firmino song.
If the train strikes are on again, we might struggle with that.
Yeah, there's plenty that could go wrong. It could be anyone. Come and tune in and find out who it is. Right then, after the break, going to be talking about Josko Gvardiol and Liverpool's links to him as well. Do come back and join us for some hot transfer talk right after these quick messages. Hey everyone, this month's prize for our Redmen Plus Club Legend draw. We're not just giving one thing away, we're giving eight. We've got eight six-packs of these amazing Liverpool beers presented by Carlsberg for their 30-year partnership with the Red Jet. We've got Ian Rush, Johnny Barnes, Sam Yippee, Robbie Fowler, Jamie Carragher and Lewis Garcia. If you want to be in the draw to win one of these eight six packs, then all you got to do is head to redmenplus.com, sign up as a Club Legend subscriber. You get loads of perks, you get free merch, you get discounts off other merch, you get access to the Discord chat, free tickets, loads more, but most importantly, you'll be in the prize draw at the end of March, and yet you could be one of the eight special winners of these amazing six pack of beers. If you're going to do it, make sure you drink responsibly, make sure you're over 18 as well, but yeah, redmenplus.com, sign up as a Club Legend and get your hands on one of these amazing prizes, hopefully.
Hey, it's the Bias Football Podcast.
Where is the intro?
Right, grudging respect, Chris.
A little bit of a wild one this week. I'm going to give it for Danny Ings, because Danny Ings has just decided to play for every team with claret and blue, like it's his colour. There was just nothing in the news this week.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. Danny Ings deciding 2 months ago to sign for West Ham.
Do you respect the week? A bit, but how long was it? In a coma.
Can't even get Ian Wright.
Steve Wilson, Alan Shearer.
Every single person on the BBC. Danny Ings.
You know what? That'll do. Danny Ings.
Clean sweep, baby.
Grudging respect of the week. Yeah. You know what? Actually, Chris Pajak wins the grudging respect of the week. If you can get Danny Ings that win, Jesus Christ.
The biggest story in the news has been all about footy and how much we respect every single person. But no, well then, Danny. Hey, welcome back. Yeah, first of all, do get involved. As a Redmen Plus Club Legend, we'll be doing the draw very, very shortly. We're nearly in April, and we're giving some alcohol beer away. If you're not over 18 and you're a legend, you can give it to one of your family. We'll send it to them for you as well. We're being responsible here, Chris, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Please, giving alcohol away.
Alcohol beer.
Not to drink it, it's for show, really. If you drink it, that's on you. We're trying to give you it as ornaments. If you want to drink it, we're not going to stop you, but we're not going to tell you to do so either. Be responsible, etc., etc.
And like my mum and dad once got one of those Prince Charles and Princess Diana Bell's whiskey bottles, like, and you got given it by, I think it was by the Outlaws, and they drank the Outlaw, the In-Laws, sorry, my mum's
parents. I'm literally looking at you like I was so confused there.
Don't you call them the Outlaws?
Such a dad joke.
You've got to call them the Outlaws.
Some cowboy group from Texas.
So they got given this, and it was like a celebratory thing. It was in a proper bell shape, and it's got their picture. It was for the royal wedding and all that type of stuff. So my dad drank it one night anyway. It was worth £800 last time I checked. But my dad had filled it up with fucking tea, hadn't he? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, mum and dad didn't know that he drank it and stuff. Yeah. You could do the same.
What's the empty bottle worth?
£6.
Well, you think now, might be more now.
You never know. Yeah.
Could be worth, I might check. Not that it matters. So we just got an empty bottle.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to have empty Coke, if you want to have empty beer cans of Liverpool Legend, you can as well, if you want to drink them. And like I say, Bias Football Podcast will be coming up a little bit later on as well. Yeah, we'll be having a little talk about Antonio Conte, a little bit about Hodge, the return of the Hodge, a bit about Man United and their takeover news as well. And yeah, bell end of the week, grudging respect to the week. It'll all be back later on Bias. I've got a little code for you as well. If you sign up, using the code BIASED at Redmond.
BISED, by the way, that guy.
<Don't>. Who was this?
Fist. Paul said it last week.
BISED.
BISED.
With all the confidence in the world.
BISED. We went, no, it's not.
It absolutely isn't. It's BISED. If you sign up, you'll get it. £2 a month for 3 months. We get ourselves involved. Basically, absolute brilliant Redmond Plus Club Captain membership. Yeah, get yourselves involved. Yeah, you spell it with an A. There's definitely an A in it, Paul, if you're watching this along. Right then, let's move on. Got a bit of hot transfer talk. Oh, hello. I'll come to you first then, Chris. You've just
can you pronounce like every letter of his name for me?
Josko Gvardiol.
Perfect.
Josko?
Yeah.
Gvardiol.
I think it's right, yeah.
Love it.
There we go. So Liverpool are in the running to sign RB Leipzig centre-back Josko Gvardiol this summer. Gvardiol is seen as an ideal partner for Virgil van Dijk, and Jurgen Klopp is pushing the Liverpool board to invest heavily. That's from Pete O'Rourke, who is the transfer correspondent for Footy Insider. Footy Insider have gone big recently. Some major investment into Footy Insider, and they're getting all the stories out there, as many as they can. I'll start with you then, Chris. That it would be a big old price, but we've spoken before about Liverpool.
What are we talking about here?
You're looking
80-odd.
70 at least.
There was talk that they want to make him the most expensive transfer in terms of centre-backs of all time. It's currently for Fan, and I think he's in that mix. But we've had conversations privately and on air as well, mate, about like centre-half and what needs to be done there. In an age where we know they're in for midfielders and they've got a lot of money to spend on midfielders, do you think they have to go big on a centre-back as well? And do you think they need to?
Do you know what? This all baffles me, to be honest with you, because I'm thinking to myself, well, if Liverpool aren't in for Jude Bellingham because they don't want to get involved in like a thing, is 80 million in your arse pocket for a centre-back part of this? Like, because we've got Konate there and he's really good. And I actually do think that Liverpool needs to start thinking about centre-halves and stuff, because it looks likely that Matip might be moved on in the summer. I'm hearing 10 to 15 million quid for Joel as an out. And, you know, that makes sense. And he's only got a year on his contract. It's actually quite a good fee if you were to get rid of Joel Matip there, wouldn't it be? Obviously, you know, Joe Gomez, there's still question marks over what level he's going to be playing at over the next few years and stuff. And I think, you know, and I mentioned this on the Deep Dive show last Friday, for me, and I know this is not an opinion that most people will share, I don't think Virgil van Dijk's a pillar that you build around anymore. I think he's going to be 32 at the start of next season, and I do think you're going to have to start planning for post Virgil van Dijk. And I did caveat that with, he's absolutely in the team for the next years, if he wants to be in the team for the next years. But you don't build around him. I do think you've got to start thinking about a succession for Virgil van Dijk, because, you know, in the same way that Liverpool let Mane go, and, you know, I know the plan was to bring Diaz in the summer, and when Mane left, it didn't quite work out like that. I do think it's much better if you've got someone there a year or two learning the ropes from the incumbent and then can slot into it. You know, Guardiol might be able to move to that left-hand side, or Konate might be able to move to that left-hand side. So, you know, but right now, I do think that it's a big position for Liverpool to deal with. Centre midfield, obviously we're going to need at least two starters, maybe even three starters, but centre half has to be up there on where you're putting your money.
Absolutely, Chloe, and we heard reports this week as well. that Nat Phillips again is going to be allowed to leave. He's been looking to leave forever, so we'll cross that bridge. Reece Williams, who got recalled earlier, obviously with two of the injuries and the loans. When Liverpool thought they were going to be letting Nat Phillips go, they brought Reece Williams back, and then in the end, they're both here now. There's talk that he could be sold as well. It's been decided he's going. So there could be some centre-half movement. It could be that you cash in on Phillips, Williams and Matip. You get a chunk of change. I mean, it won't be a lot, but between them, you might get... what, 30 million quid maybe?
Don't think quite that. 25, whatever maybe, you get. So, yeah.
And then you invest that plus X amount into another centre-half. And then that's how it calf starts to make sense. But like, I'm all in on transfer. But when I hear rumours of like this level of defender, it's like, my God, something's going to be seriously different here. But for us to go and get the midfielders we think we want, well, we know for a fact, they want Jude Bellingham, there's Mason Mount, there's Nunez, now a centre-half. It'd have to be the summer of... something that we haven't seen forever under this ownership and this management team.
No, but I feel like that needs to happen. Yeah, yeah. You need to spend in excess of 300 million because you've got to a point now where you need at least two midfielders. You do need a centre-half because Matip is going to go, Nat Phillips, Reece Williams, and also the fact that Konate has had his injuries this season and he's probably been out more than he's played. Virgil van Dijk has, you know, a yard's gone off him, to be perfectly honest. He's still unbelievable and he can still get back to it and he haven't had the protection from the midfield.
Key that.
But I feel like, you know, we need to go all for it. The thing is, though, is 70, you say 70 mil to me, I'm like, oh, well okay, I can potentially see that. You say record fee for a defender and I'm like, no, that's we're not going to do that. And even if there's only a 20 mil difference in that to me in my brain just makes me think that we wouldn't do that. He's an unbelievable player. He spoke out about Liverpool and his love for Liverpool as well. So maybe, just maybe, you could basically say to him, what I hope we've said to Jude Bellingham is, you're going to have to do the work here if you want to come to us. We'll pay this much, but you've got to tell your club, please.
Which, of course, we wouldn't have possibly done because that would be tapping up.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
never done that before.
No, never.
It'll be like Blackpool, yeah.
But yeah, he's a brilliant player. Do I see him coming to Liverpool? No, not for that price. But he is your future centre half once again for another 8 to 10 years at least. So I feel like he'll go to Chelsea, mate.
Chelsea desperately want him for all. They tried to get him in the summer, in January rather than...
He can't have any more money left.
Space for players. Room in Chelsea, for that matter.
Yeah, just like living space in London. Where you're staying.
Hang on a minute. Where are they going to play him? Who in place of? Because Thiago Silva ain't quitting yet. He's got at least 10 years left in him. Who's the other fellow they signed in January?
Fafana.
He's bossing.
And they've got Fafana, yeah.
They've got loads.
They have got loads. I love Guardiola. Like, I brought up the centre back thing months and months ago, and I know, like, hindsight's the best form of knowledge, if you like. But a few people raised eyebrows at me because I think at the time Matip was still okay, Konate was still fit and playing really well. But it just felt like something was coming down the line with all this, and now we're here. And I think we desperately do need to go and get one. It's a weird dynamic for me because part of me thinks going to get Guardiola, who I would do some really bad stuff to get to the Liverpool Football Club for, because I think he's brilliant, I think he's just superb. He would be the next Virgil van Dijk, in my opinion. He's class, he's that good. But there's also a side of me that thinks if Matip's going to go for this low price, which he probably will be, you go and sign like an Evan Ndicka from Frankfurt, who'll be free because he's like your perfect Matip replacement in that sense as well. So I'd love us to go all out and go and get Guardiola because we really need him. But the centre-back thing isn't the priority. The midfield remains the priority. And if we've got 300 million to spend, I think all of it has to go in the midfield department. I don't think we can kind of cut corners on that anymore. And I also, but the other point of this is that we do sell players like Matip. Kelleher's probably going to go as well. You might get 20 plus for him.
I think you're getting 40 for him.
Yeah, I
think you're getting that much.
He's 30 to 40, unbelievable. You know?
Hasn't played enough for that amount of money.
I know. He's
class. He hasn't got the wealth of experience for that amount of money, though, unfortunately. I love him. I think he's that good a footballer.
I think teams will take a risk on him.
It's too much money.
Did you see a keeper who's not played enough?
That was Bazuna, wasn't him?
Oh, then why does everyone say
I've seen that all over Twitter, loads of people getting it wrong. It wasn't him.
I don't think any less than 30. I do think 30 to 40.
I think 30.
I think he's that talented a player that he warrants a £40 million fee. I really do. I just don't think if you're a football club looking at him and going, he's played what amount of games? 30 games of football for first team at Liverpool, tops? You can't spend £40 million on that. In my opinion, you can't do it.
Back to the defender situation, I think it could be a case of, I mean, £300 million in my mind, you should be able to get two midfielders and a defender.
Like, not Jude Bellingham as well, though.
How much did you just say?
Yeah, but £300 million.
Where the fuck's that coming from?
Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm just saying that's how much I reckon we at least need to spend.
Bellingham's under 50 of it, though.
Yeah, 120
it's 130
at least.
In pounds, innit? In sterling.
And then I wouldn't want that, Nunes. Don't
you're not interested
stay
in
away
Mason
from
Mount,
my club, please.
Different conversation.
Mason Mount to do one, but I reckon 50 mil is probably as much as I'd go for Mason Mount. That leaves me 100 mil for a centre.
And you need another midfielder.
Chloe makes it look so easy.
See, I'm looking at Fabinho goes out the door.
Right.
I'm shocked, man.
I'm looking at Kelleher goes out the door for let's go lower end of mine, 30 million. And then I'm looking at 130 on Jude Sterling, 80 on Declan,
I knew it'd be
40 on his best mate Mason.
Yeah,
and then we've got money for the centre half, right?
So we're signing Jude, Declan, and Mason.
Yeah,
it does sound like we're going to have the tauriest team of all time.
Some triangle line, Some triangle.
I mean, I'm all for it, but just in general, like,
the Tory stronghold
the centre mid is just like
blue wall in the middle of the park.
Jacob Rees and Mog there.
Can we not worry about the centre half situation in a year's time?
No, it's coming now.
This was my next point, Chloe, and I'm glad you brought it up, Chris. If Liverpool were good, that would be the exact type of thing that great teams do. They sort it before it becomes a problem. We've got so many things that are a problem that we haven't fought the next one. And I've had this in my house because I used to be skinned and sort of a break and I couldn't afford to get it fixed. And by the time I could afford to get it fixed, something else I fucking broke. Mm. And you're always moving on to the next problem where someone who was wiser and better with their money and at the time probably had a much better job than I had at the time when I was tossing about, they'd have been prepped for it. Liverpool are in that boat now. The midfield is a disaster, but already there's cracks in the defence and you can see it coming. They're like, ah, shit, I'm still saving for this. If they were better, they could have had it all boxed off better because he did make mistakes and that's where we found ourselves. And that's my point on the centre-halves. I'm with you. I think they need one, especially if Matip goes, but it comes back to the finances. Can they afford to do it all at once? By getting themselves dug into such a hole with the midfield, it's hard to future-proof because you can't future-proof when you're already fighting fires now.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. But that's the situation that we're left in. And if we're serious about getting back to the top, you need to solve all the problems.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
imagine though, if we sign no one, I'm so sorry, but imagine.
But you know what? It's got like, do you remember that famous photo of, was it Houllier with his seven signings or something? That's what I'm kind of expecting this summer, isn't it? But that's why the James Milner thing kind of made sense. It's just one less thing to have to deal with.
But on that, you just said Fabinho to leave as well.
Because he's sellable asset still.
Yeah, get that.
I'd be shocked.
We've been really bad at selling, which is why selling Matip for this 10-15 amount of money is a sensible move, because otherwise you let another player walk away for free in a year's time, which just seems mad to me. But with Fabinho, all you're doing there is you're giving yourself another headache. Like, form-wise, you could probably justify selling him. And you're right, if you were to get 30, 40, maybe even more million for him, that makes so much sense. But you're just giving yourself another problem further down the line.
But I think your problems are all there. I think, and for me, and this is just my opinion, of course, I'm not sure he's it.
I agree with that.
A year ago, I could sit here and tell you Liverpool can't improve on Fabinho. Liverpool can improve on Fabinho.
Yeah.
I think for 30, 40 million, and that's the thing. So if you can improve on a player, go and fucking do it. That's what got us into this situation in the first place, not improving on. Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
That, again, that goes back to the future proofing. It's like, when you already need three midfielders, can you sell one to go and buy more of them? Because you already know. That's what they've done. Again, it goes back to the same conversation, Clobo. On the whole thing in general, let's go back to centre-halves then. It was Neil Jones who told me on JNO Insight a few weeks ago, there's whispers inside Liverpool that this is Matip's last season. I think he wrote it for Goal as well in one of his columns, so go and check that out as well. It does feel like, again, if that's the case, sad, but they are going to have to replace him. It almost feels like that could be something, like you said before, do you just go again? Do you just go again with the same four one last time? It's a risk, don't get me wrong, because the injuries. Yep. Matip's career has been injury blighted. The last year was the exception to the rule, and maybe we all got into a bit of a false sense of security, and he's been a bit crap. If truth be told, he hasn't had a good season at all. He isn't the only one, and there's a million reasons why, I get it. But in a summer when so much needs doing, is it worth just going, you know what, we'll just let you go for free next year. We'll keep you, rather than bank 10 million quid and have to worry about replacing you with someone who's 80 million quid or whatever to make it worthwhile. You stay one more year, we go with Konate, Van Dijk, Gomez and Matip one more season, or would that not be on the cards for you?
I only said it because when we were all listing the problems in the midfielders that we need, I just thought FSG aren't going to do that. They're obviously going to keep him and just let him go for free to solve that problem. What I want to know is how much can we spend before we break rules? Like, can we go and do what Chelsea did, or was that just a loophole for them? Like, they obviously found that loophole. I'm not saying we need to spend 600 million in two seasons.
They've done the whole give them a 7-year contract thing.
Yeah,
you won't be able to do that anymore.
That's Jews.
We haven't got that money to start shelling
out. But
I think
they're clamping down.
For a start, Champions League football makes a massive impact on
100 mil as well,
thing.
On top of that, and also the attraction that it gives. I think you've got too many problems that if you just leave it another one, you'll get into this situation again two years down the line.
Am I right in saying that the financial fair play stuff is still done over a 3-year period? Yeah. So, for example, you could go really big in year one and just sell in year two and year three to get it back if you wanted. So there is wiggle room for something like that. Don't know where we are in those 3-year periods, by the way. Yeah. My thinking on that, Steve, is in Joe Gomez, in Joel Matip and in Ibu Konate, you've got one centre-half.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the fucking problem.
Yeah.
You've got the games of one centre-half, and that's a really not a good place to be in.
Everyone laughs at my Nat Phillips love, and I'm on the hill. I would die for Nat Phillips being part of our squad. As fourth choice, I'm all for it, because he's always fit, Dan. Yeah. He's rarely unavailable, and you hope to God you don't have to play him. Constantly, you don't want him having 15 games, but like, if numbers 2 and 3 were better at staying fit, you could get away with it. That's the problem at the moment, is that your fourth choice is, like Chris says, he effectively plays the same amount of games as your second choice. He's a regular player, and that's where things get worried with that. I think that feels better than Joe Gomez. I've said it 100 times on the show, and I truly believe it. Paul laughs in my face when I say it. I wholeheartedly believe it. Gomez adds the versatility of being able to do a right back job, and that's the difference. But I think if Van Dijk's your one, and I think if Nat Phillips was your four, you could get away with it. If 2 and 3, well, you could stay on the pitch. But in Konate, Gomez and Van Dijk and Matip, like Chris has just said, we can't rely on either of them. We've got too many players in this team at the minute, and some of them are about to leave, granted, who just can't stay fit enough. And it's becoming a massive problem. It keeps showing its deep time and time again. Your squad looks good. you're on paper, and before you know it, hamstring, muscle injury, got no depth left. We found ourselves in that position time and time again.
Well, exactly that. Yeah, my biggest concern amongst this entire conversation is that I've got this nagging feeling in the back of my head. If we don't address the centre-half issue this summer, all the conversations we've had this year about the midfield, we're going to be having the same ones about the centre-half.
Well, we had it a few years ago, the centre-half.
We've already been there, but that was kind of more drastic because there were sort of big injuries that happened in the season. You can't really sort of... You can't approach that. You can't plan for that. That's just one of the things. Someone like Virgil, who's been so injury-free his entire career, that just happens. That's unfortunate. But for me, they've all the signs are there now of this midfield breaking down, whether it be injuries or form. So I think we need to go and fix it, because otherwise we're just going to have the same problems, the same conversations. But I think you're right on Phillips. I think there's no real reason why, based on recent performances, he consistently isn't better than Joe Gomez, because he is. I think we've seen that. Joe Gomez on his day is a 9, he's a 9.5. But then on the next day, he's like a 3 or a 2. He's that sort of inconsistent. You just can't rely on him. I think for me, when you said Phillips is fourth choice, I kind of wince a little bit, because I think for our pecking order, that's too high, because our pecking order consists of players that don't play enough. And that's the problem. If Phillips was fifth choice in our pecking order, you go, that's fine. If he's fourth choice in any other squad, you go, yeah, no worries, I can live with that. He's sound, he's reliable, we'll throw him in whenever. But for us, when you're fourth choice, he's probably going to play 20 games a season. Nat Phillips isn't that man. It's just as simple as that.
Can I bring another problem in? What happens at right back with whatever has been going on in the recent weeks? I still think that's where Trent should play, but you've got the problem with Calvin Ramsey, who I've hardly seen kick a ball about, is out for the season. Mm. I've not... The glimpses that I saw of him, I thought, oh, he looks like a player. But if you're injured constantly and you're not getting the minutes there, are we going to have to deal... What happens...
That's why I did give Joe Gomez new contract.
I don't think
stays.
Gomez is and good Milner enough as right well, back.
Milner to an extent.
Where are we at with Conor Bradley? He's on loan at the moment.
He's on loan at Bolton. He's had a good year at Bolton.
So he could come back into
the
fold. He's
on a match for Northern Ireland yesterday as well.
Yeah, he's
so he could
well.
Come back into the fold and maybe do something.
But
as well,
in the
so.
Premier, I don't want him in the Premier League.
They've got
a
back Ramsey, aren't they? They're going to back Ramsey.
Yeah, they've got him.
You're right in what you're saying. We haven't seen enough of him, but they signed him for a reason. He cost money for a reason from Aberdeen. He was really good for Aberdeen, attacking right back, in very much in the mould of Trent, which is obviously what they're trying to continue with. So they will back Ramsey. You're right. It's been so frustrating. And I think you've got to feel sorry for the lad in many senses. Young kid, moved down to Liverpool, picks up injuries, then rules
his season
out. He
already had an injury, but apparently we just decided to brush over that one as well.
Comes back to not having a doctor and not having things done. The start of the season was a shambles. It was for multiple reasons. We signed Artemelo on deadline day. Calvin Ramsey came with an injury. We had no doctor kicking.
He went on
out.
A tour, Jürgen regrets going on to
it. It was a shambles. The whole pre-season was a mess. Everything was a mess. And this has left us in this situation now. We know all that. And unfortunately, we have to double down on some of these decisions. And I think Calvin Ramsey's one of them.
Also, what if Costas the start? I can get first team in the Premier League.
Then he'll be sold and he'll... your time work out something else. Would.
And this is where it comes back to for me on the Nat Phillips thing is I just think he wants to play footy.
As much as
you might think that he wants to be, you know, he's good enough to be fourth choice, he doesn't fucking want to be here because he's not getting the games that he probably thinks he deserves, just like you do. So he'll be gone because he wants to be gone. And there's only so many times you can tell a lad you can go, you can't.
We've messed him around, actually.
You've got to let him go.
Yeah.
And there's no reason, because he was supposed to go in January, wasn't he, Steve?
Until Canate got injured.
And then, so that conversation there, I will almost guarantee you, I can't let you go, but you can go in the summer.
We've got a Discord.
That will have happened.
We've got a Discord chat from Sparrow, who says, Gomez is the better footballer, but Nat is better at stopping the ball going in our net. I'd argue that might be more important to the defender, just saying this. His problem is that it's all he really does, and that isn't what Klopp wants. Make sense?
Gomez
is a better footballer, but Nat is better stopping the ball going in our net. His problem is that is all he really does, and that isn't really what Klopp
does. Do you know what? I had an interesting thing along those lines. It's about, go and get it if you want to, mate. It's fine. But I had an interesting conversation with a barber this weekend, and he was like, why doesn't anyone ever talk about Lewis Dunk? Like, playing for a side that plays out from the back, right? Your face there.
I like Lewis Dunk.
Well, there you go. Like, for a centre-half who plies his trade at a team who are just as good as us at the moment, Brighton centre-half, is he English?
Yeah.
His age would be a thing now, though. Did you mention the bar because no one's mentioned your haircut today, by the way?
No, it was because it was the fella who was talking to me about
it. I quite liked it if it was someone saying I've had
it. It was like your wife.
That's me.
That was a conversation in the hairdressers.
Of course. I think it's a genuine...
To go inside him, we're talking about
now. Yeah, someone like him.
What is he, like 27?
He's got to be older than that. I feel like he's been here for years.
Good to find out.
Good at free kicks as well.
I thought it was an interesting point because he says, why does no one talk about us? I was like, literally no one talks about him. We talk about all of the other Brighton players. You did it before. You went through a list of the lads, the two of you, who you liked. No one mentioned the centre-halves. Playing in the same sort of system.
He's 31, by the way.
Oh, wow. He's 31.
That's why no one's talking about him, Barber.
That'll be it. That will be
it. That's as bad as Dan saying doctor to someone he was interviewing.
Doctor, yeah, he's doctor.
You're all right, doctor.
I respect that, innit?
High level of respect.
He's fucking bought and paid for it. Use it.
Yeah, precisely.
Absolutely me.
Not like Dr. Fox, the
and
DJ.
It's a real title. He was a real.
He's getting Mister.
He is.
I need to see the PhD before I call you anything. Absolutely. Yeah.
He probably had it on the wall behind him on Zoom, didn't he?
Doctor and Mixon.
Liverpool could do one of them themselves. Get a doctor. Got a couple of Discord chats then before I start wrapping up. First of all, got a shout out from Quadbod who asks about Curtis Jones. Says, any love for Curtis Jones after how good he was for England under 21s? I didn't see it, but I saw the goal.
Yeah.
It was a little bit Darwin Nunez, wasn't it?
Was.
Good to see him back. Good to see him on a footy pitch. Usually international footy, you don't want lads playing footy because you're wondering about them, but Chloe, Curtis needed minutes. Good to get, and listen, go and get them fill off. And like I say, apparently from what I read, England was struggling, but then when them lot came on, they changed the game. So nicely Curtis getting a few minutes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's had a tough season. He's had a tough couple of seasons, to be honest. I remember, I think it was Brentford away, we drew 3-3 and he scores that goal. And you can see the passion in him. But he's been a little bit unlucky with injuries, and also when you look at last season when we nearly won everything, he was never getting into that midfield. He was, even as rotation, you know, the early FA Cup games, and then once it gets serious, you're out of it again. Nice to see him have a little bit of quality as well on the ball. I think he's come on a couple of times this season, and he's most definitely not been the worst player on the pitch. But he is a young lad, and he's going to get heavily criticised because that's what we do. But yeah, nice to see him get a couple a minute, a bit of game time. I'm not too sure I'll see him the rest of the season now because he'll probably pick up another injury at some point.
It's more a case of like, yeah, he's another one who just needs a full pre-season and get himself fit again. We'll see what he is. Because I don't think he's proved anything yet, but he hasn't been able to prove it because he hasn't been able to stick with it. We don't really know. I think the general consensus now among Liverpool fans with Curtis is he's probably not good enough.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had a chance to show it because he's always been injured. Jürgen clearly likes him and he keeps picking him all the time, but he hasn't been on the pitch enough again.
Did he have a stress-related injury?
That's what he still has. The manager has
growing pains and stuff, isn't he? Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Like, because of the problems he's having, he can't even train all the time and he can't even play all the time. If you can't rely on someone like that, then where are you going in your career, really? Especially at a club like Liverpool, like you need to be, especially the season we've had with the midfield problems, you want to turn to Curtis Jones and say, oh, you're ready. You go and do it then. You're a young lad. Come for the academy, etc. Because I don't think loads of people doubt his ability. I think he's got lots of ability. I think he's a talented lad and he's shown it a little bit with that goal. But for me, it's more frustration now with Curtis Jones because it's just not happening for him and you wonder if it ever will. That's my biggest issue. We're talking about being good at selling assets and selling players, something Liverpool haven't done very well. Curtis Jones could come into that conversation for me.
And also, if we in the summer get Jude Bellingham and Mason Mount and maybe another player, good luck to you getting a place in that.
Positionally as well, because we've got Fabio Carvalho, who's very similar in a lot of ways. Not quite as physically as commanding as Jones, but we've just signed Fabio Carvalho, so we're not going to sort of bin him off in favour of Jones, you wouldn't have thought. So it's a really interesting one. Like I said, I don't doubt his talent. I think he's got a little bit. I just worry that he's ever going to nail down a place in the side.
His other position was left wing as well. Yeah, and look at that.
Yeah. The thing with me for Curtis Jones is the expectations are probably too high.
Possibly, yeah.
I'm not sure he's going to be a starting world-class midfielder ever. And I like him. And I think he's got something as well. So if you change that viewpoint from this lad came through from the reserves and could be a really good squad option for the next 10 years for us that saves us 30, 40 million, you might find yourself in a better place with Curtis Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure he's ever going to be the Wijnaldum I thought he was maybe going to be a couple of years ago. And I also wonder whether, and I know it's not the same and I'm not framing it in any way, shape or form the same, but I just wonder whether with social media and the 24-hour news cycle, 365 days a year, what we would have been talking about of Steven Gerrard when he was going through his growing pains, because this happened to one of the best players that's ever played for Liverpool Football Club, who burst onto the scene and was playing right back and all this type of stuff, who had his problems. This does happen with young players at times, and I don't think, I'm not saying Curt Jones is ever going to be as good as Steven Gerrard, but I wonder whether the world we live in now just doesn't have as much patience for a young player.
Just on that, funnily enough, Gerrard referenced that himself when he was speaking to Jude Bellingham yesterday during his little post-match thing. But we never talk much Bellingham, but Gerrard said, you've got a better body than I have at 19. And Bellingham was like, kind of like, he said, no, genuinely, like, because he had all the issues
he did.
And Gerrard even referenced his struggles. He said, you're miles ahead of where I was at your age. I know Bellingham's miles ahead of Curtis Jones, so it's not really a fair comparison, but Gerrard did say as much. And you do wonder, like you say, if back then we'd all been watching Gerrard going, not really happening for this kid, is it? Like, where is he? He's injured again, you know what I mean? And look how that panned out. So,
you've got one more Discord question. I'll let you have a think about it. I'll give you the question. I'll give the guys at home listening or watching some information, then you just can come back with your answer at the end. Uh-oh. Scottish Red asks, how many points do you need to come fourth? What are you guessing? So, as it stands, Tottenham are on 49 after 28. So they've got 10 games left. Liverpool are on 42 after 26. So basically, what do you reckon fourth's going to take? Have a think. Don't have to do it right now. And we'll come back to it. I've got some information to give away.
I can give you the answer right now.
I don't want you to, though.
Okay.
It's called a tease, Chris. It's called a suspense. Just to let you guys know at home, listening or watching, we're going to be hosting our very first ever quiz night, a live quiz night, but it's going to be Red Men special, isn't it?
When is it, Steve?
It is on the 5th of May at Hotel Anfield, Friday the 5th of May.
Same if I'm available.
Well, I hope you are. You're on the poster. People are literally looking at your face right now if they're watching. If you're a Red Men Plus Club legend, you should have had an email or check the Discord.
Oh, it's a Friday.
It is. For your priority links. If you're a club captain, you'll get yours soon enough as well. And they will go on general sale later on this week. So if you want to come and join us down at Hotel Anfield, keep an eye on all the channels, all the socials and that. Like I say, if you're one of our subscribers, go and check your emails. Go and check your inbox. Go and check the Discord and check the Red Men Plus subscribers group tomorrow for access or to get tickets. But yeah, do come and join us. It isn't just a pub quiz. It's going to be basically lots of messing about, lots of fun, lots of Pajak-inspired chaos. I think that's fair to say.
The fuck did I do?
Well, we know you're going to do something.
Inspired the chaos.
You're going to absolutely literally do something. And yeah, while I've got you here, then I want to talk about Red Men Plus as well. After this, we'll have the Biased Football Podcast. If you want to come and join us, like I say, we're talking Conte, we're talking Hodgson, we're talking Manchester United and their ownership, and apparently voting on an app. All that is to come, which is absolutely...
I can't wait to
be able to download that app and vote for them. But yeah, like I say, if you get involved, sign up as a Red Men Plus Club Captain on a monthly subscription. Use the code BIASED, B-I-A-S-E-D, there is an A in it, and you'll get it for £2 a month for 3 months. So yeah, you're saving yourself a couple of quid each and every month. Right then, guys, I'll give you long enough. You had your answer already, so I'll come to you first, because how many points gets top four?
I think if you want to guarantee it, 36. Next.
Brilliant. Absolutely fucking fantastic.
Sorry, what?
We've got 36 points to play for.
Chris, just guarantee it with all of them.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Even that, only get you 78. Is that going to be enough?
Like, well, I actually think 70. We might need to get to 70.
I literally was saying 70, yeah.
Which is 28 away from where we are now.
Oh, we're fucked then.
It's 28.
28 from 12.
Yeah.
Because that means Tottenham get 20 from 30.
We're averaging... What are we averaging at the moment?
I don't want
less
to
than
know.
Less than 2 points a game.
It's an upturn. There's absolutely no two ways about that.
It's about 2.5 points a game.
Is that about right for Tottenham then? So if they get 20, which is 42,
we're on 1.6 at the moment.
We're averaging 1.6 points a game, and we need, what's the, you say 70 points?
I think so.
So that's
28
from where we are now.
Divide 12,
2.3.
Yeah. That's because I think...
tough, that.
But that's what it probably is. He's probably right. Liverpool just needs to get a shift on. It's going to be hard.
I'm not sure a team can do that with a third of the season left.
Well, I think Tottenham are on 69.
I think 70, and I think Liverpool needs to go on a run. And it's going to be really hard for them. But that's what it is. That's the hole they've found themselves in.
Yeah.
Like I say, if you're not watching this...
But hang on a minute. Tottenham have got two less games to do it in.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've got 10 games and they need 21 points.
Well, 20, keep them on 69.
Yeah, 2 points. Okay.
Is my thinking. Because their goal difference is better than ours as well right now. Yeah. So I'm having them on 69, us on 70 to do it. That's my...
So they're... Ooh.
Their goal difference is worse than ours.
So they're going to average 2 points
They're on 12,
a game.
We're on 18.
We can both finish on 69 then, if you like.
Oof. Nice. Double nice.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it?
Twice as nice.
You both finish on 69.
That is the point. That's exactly why we're here.
I can't beat that. That is the perfect way to end the show. Do come and join us for the Bias Football Podcast. Like I say, do come and get involved.
Can kids go, what are they talking about there? Just
fine.
Google.
Yeah, don't Google.
No.
On a private browser.
Absolutely not safe way. Come and join us for Bias. Come and join us down at Hotel Anfield for the quiz. And we'll be back next time with the Red Men Originals. Take care, everyone. See you in a bit.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.